Now, have you all got a Bible? Are you close to a Bible? Because you are going to need your Bibles this morning. You don't need to look up this passage because you've got a lot more to look up in just a moment. So bear with me. But I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 6. Listen to this. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and their temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with the live coal in his hand, which he had taken with thongs from the altar. When he touched my mouth, he said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.' That is one vision that Isaiah had of heaven." It sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? Could you imagine having that sort of vision? A vision where you literally fall to the ground and you think you're about to die? Well, it's a pretty common theme when people get visions of heaven or of the presence of God. So, to demonstrate this a little bit more, everyone on this side of the room. Okay, so on my left, I want you to check out Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 to 19. And I want you to read it to the person sitting next to you. You got that? Revelation chapter 1, 9 to 19. Okay, over here, you guys have got a long one. Revelation chapter 4, the whole thing. I think it's only 10 verses. Revelation chapter 4, just read it out to each other. Read it out to each other so everyone's hearing the word. Is everybody reading? Very good. Make sure you get to hear it. We're nearly there. Make sure you read it and take it in because there will be a test. How are we going? Put up your hand if you've read your passage. Okay, we've got a few people. Keep reading. If you're reading it, read it faster. Okay, we must be very, very close to finishing now. Is everyone on this side finished? Well finished? These guys had a whole chapter to read, so are we nearly done? Nearly done, most people are done. I'll give you 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, well done, 4, 3, 2, 1 and a half, 1 and a quarter, 1. Well done. All finished. Okay. Very good. Okay, now the test. The test. Okay, I need someone from over here to explain what happened in your passage. What was going on in your passage? Anyone, just shout a few things out that you can remember. Revelation chapter 4. Say that again.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who is and is to come.
Who said that? All the angels. Very good. Okay, what else? What else happened in this chapter 4? Yeah, there was 24 elders. Come on, keep going. There should be more. Hey? A lot. Oh, very good. Okay. So Jesus sitting on the throne. Everyone's worshipping him. Pretty awesome. Okay. What about over here? What happened in your passage? John saw Jesus. And what did Jesus look like? Like the sun. Do you think that's a scary Jesus, isn't it? He's a bit more tougher, isn't he? He's the glorified Jesus. Yeah. Okay. All right. So in each of the three passages that we have gone through, there are four things that I want us to think about. Okay. The first one is that in each of these, there is the throne of God. Okay? Jesus is seated on the throne. Now, what do you think it means? Say what again? That was John. Okay. Revelation 4. Skip a chapter. And Isaiah. Okay. So Jesus is on the throne. Okay. Jesus is seated on the throne. What does it mean if someone's seated on the throne? They're the king. They're the boss. What they say goes. They're in power. They're in charge. Yep. Good. Okay. Next bit that we notice is the majesty of God. That's in all of them. There you go. The majesty of God. Okay. Is it sort of like Jesus that you see in some of those old cartoons when he's holding a little sheep, you know, and he looks like he's Norwegian, nice blonde hair? Is that the picture of Jesus that we have in these? No? What sort of picture do we get of Jesus? How would you describe it? Powerful. He's a little bit scary, isn't he? He's got fire in his eyes. Okay? He's pretty, a sword out of his mouth. It's incredible, isn't it? So we see the majesty of God. I think in Revelation chapter 4, it talks about how there was rolls of thunder and lightning. Like, it's a pretty terrifying sort of scene. And it's showing. And there's a rainbow, you know. Checked out the rainbow. Very good. Okay. Yep. And in this story over here, they say there's emeralds and there's rubies. Like, it's just an incredible visual of what heaven is going to be like. Thirdly, there's worship. In each of these, it's just worship. People fall down. People want to just worship God. In Isaiah, it talks about how the angels are worshiping and they've got wings that covering their faces and their feet because it's like the glory of God is so bright that they don't want to see it. It's too bright. And so we get this picture that in the presence of God, that stuff happens. It's very, very powerful. Lastly, in Revelation and in Isaiah, they fall down as though they were dead when they come into the presence of God. As though they were dead. Okay. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, it says that the Jews were saying that if we were to see God's face, we would die. That's what it says. They thought that they would die because the presence of God was so powerful. Yet we see Gideon and even John here in the book of Revelation, they actually see the face of God. And they fell down as though they were dead. But when they got up, the old them was gone and the new them had come. So you definitely die when you come into the presence of God. You may not physically die, but you will die. It's good. The old goes. And so to demonstrate this, and I really want to talk about a little bit more. So this is God's presence, where Jesus is king. It's the kingdom of God. And Jesus taught us to pray that his kingdom would come, and that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? And so what we hear from this is that God wants what's up there to be down here. And so if you think about these pictures that we've had of Jesus and of heaven, of worship, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And God wants that sort of atmosphere to be down here. And so to demonstrate how that could practically look in our lives, I've got a bunch of little testimonies from different people. The first one, the Apostle Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And Saul was bloodthirsty. He wanted to kill all the Christians. Okay? He wanted them all dead. And while he was traveling to another place to go and kill more Christians, God appeared to him. And his glory was so strong that it knocked him off. I think he was on a horse, wasn't he? Knocked him off, and he was blinded. He was blinded. He couldn't see what was going on. And then for a few days, he was just blind. Then God sent the prophet Ananias to go and speak to him. Whose phone's that? So God sent the prophet Ananias to go and speak to Saul, this person who was coming to kill him. So can you imagine going to the house of the person that is planning to kill you? Anyway, Ananias did it. Saul got saved. God changed his name to Paul, and he received his sight. So in the presence of God, Saul was completely changed, so much so that he got a new name. His name was now Paul. That's the first one. Secondly, there's a person going around called Heidi Baker. Has anyone here ever heard of Heidi Baker? You've heard of her? Anyway, I would say that she's the next Mother Teresa with the sort of work that she's doing. Amazing woman. She spent around 10 years in Bible college. And she got all, you know, I think she became a doctor in systematic theology. Anyway, she went to Mozambique and tried to start up a couple of churches, which were pretty mediocre, and they had an orphanage, which wasn't doing too good. And after a while, she was burnt out. She was tired. She had multiple sclerosis. And really, she just wanted to give up. And she went to church. She went to, it's called the Toronto Airport Fellowship around the time. They called it the Toronto Blessing. Now, some people aren't too keen about that. But for this lady, it was really good for her. And when she got there, she was saying things like, I just want to work in Kmart. I just want to work in Target because I don't want to hurt anybody, because she was just so broken herself. Anyway, she came into the worship time and she had an experience like John had and like Gideon had and like Isaiah had, that fell down as though they were dead. And for a whole week, she couldn't move. But the whole time, she was having these visions of Jesus looking at her. And in those 7 days, she was transformed by the love of God. Today, they've planted over 10,000 churches. Over 1 million people have been saved. Over 100 people have been raised from the dead. People who are blind and deaf are being healed. Amazing things are happening. Why? Because she spent a whole week in the presence of God, and that completely changed her. Charles Finney, great revivalist. He used to have these meetings, and there were stories of how he would be in a meeting, the Holy Spirit would come, and people on the trains passing by would jump off the train to come to the meeting because they understood that something was going on there, something was pulling them. Wouldn't it be great if we had that here in Ararat, that people would be jumping off that train because they sense that God is doing something here? It's happened before. That happened to Charles Finney, and it happens all over the world. Another one. Let me just give you two more. One more. No, two more. All right. Last week, I'll go and do two. I'll do two. Last week, we went to a conference, and there was a time there when we were just worshipping. And the person who was leading, he said, I believe God's going to heal us as we just as we worship. No one prayed. We just worshipped. And then he got everyone to come down the front who had been healed. And there was hundreds of people, wasn't there, Belinda? Hundreds of people ran down the front who'd been healed in the presence of God. No one even prayed. They just worshipped. Lastly, I'll give you one from my own life. Now, all of these have been sort of pretty spectacular, haven't they? They've all been during big meetings and amazing things are happening. This one was happening in my life when I wasn't going through a very good time. And it was in my own personal devotional time. I was still in bed. I was too lazy to get out of bed to do my devotions, but I was doing them. And as I was praying, I had a feeling that God was coming. Very strange feeling. And so I started repenting of all my sin. And before I knew it, has anyone ever had like those goosebumps that come over you, maybe when you're worshipping or praying? Well, I had goosebumps that came down, but then it came down stronger and stronger, like this, like waves of it. And it hunched me over like this. And I felt as though I was literally going to die. Literally thought I was going to die. It was too much for me. Eventually, I was crying out to God, stop it, stop it, stop it. And it stopped. And I was flooded with this amazing sense of peace. And so this, even though I thought I was going to die, like it was just so horrible, it was also amazing. And God changed my life in that moment. But the point is that it doesn't have to be in a big meeting. It can happen when you're at home in bed, just worshiping God. God wants to transform your life. And when I had that peace, I could hear, it wasn't quite audible, but I could hear these angels saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It was a very powerful experience for me, and it changed the way that I lived. And so God wants that for us. In Psalm 22, verse 3, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Or God is enthroned in the praises of his people. Depends which translation of the Bible that you read. And really what it's talking about is that as we worship God, it's like we're creating a platform. It's like we're setting up a throne for God to sit on. So when we worship him, it's more than just singing songs. What we're actually doing is setting up a place for God to rule with all his power and authority, and his presence comes. And so we've got half an hour now. It's only 11 o'clock. And we're just going to spend the next half an hour in worship. Because I truly believe that if we really run after the presence of God during this time. And if we can learn how to do this in our personal devotional times, our lives will change. And people will notice. People will notice. And this town can be changed. So you've heard it from the scripture. You've heard it from testimonies. So all that's really left now is for us to worship. So I invite you all to stand. I'm going to pray. And then we're just going to spend some time in worship. Lord, we thank you that you are high and lifted up. Jesus, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that you are above every single thing in the world. You're above it all. We thank you, Jesus, that in your presence, the darkness runs away. We thank you that in your presence, sin disappears. We thank you that in your presence, sickness disappears. We thank you that in your presence, we receive life. We receive love and hope and faith and healing. Lord Jesus, this morning as we worship you, we want to set up a platform for your throne to be in our lives. Jesus, we pray that as we worship you, that you would inhabit our praises. We pray that we would experience your presence. Lord, we know that you are everywhere. But in the book of John, it says that you will manifest, you will make known yourself to us. And so this morning, Jesus, we pray that you would make yourself known to us. As we enter into your presence, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and that we would have an encounter with you this morning. Love, joy, peace. Thank you, Lord, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, Lord, we pray that there will be freedom here this morning. Yeah. This morning we declare in Jesus' name that anything demonic, any distractions or discouragement, we'll just leave now in Jesus' name. We pray that the fear of man, where we worry about what the person next to us or behind us is going to think of us, we pray that that would disappear. We pray that any fear that we have about anything, any anxiety, any burdens, we pray that as we worship you this morning, Lord, that all that would just fall away. Jesus, we don't come to you just so that happens, but we come to you and worship you because you alone are worthy and you are holy. And so, Lord, as we've seen in the scripture, Lord, we've seen that there are angels worshiping you all the time. We join with them in our worship this morning and say, Lord, you are holy. We love you, Lord. We worship you.